And let's pray. Gracious Almighty God, we give you thanks for this gorgeous day and for giving us the opportunity to be able to gather together here in this place to worship you. We ask for your presence to be with us now. Fill us with your love, your peace that passes all understanding. And we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your everlasting holy name. Amen. There's a few gospel lessons throughout the gospels where once I read them, I have kind of a difficult time saying this is the gospel of our Lord. You know, because when you read, throw them out into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, kind of seems hopeless, doesn't it? It's a little bit difficult for me to say those words when it's Jesus saying those words, and I know so much about what Jesus has taught us about love and about acceptance and about helping one another and serving our neighbor and all that stuff. And then there's this parable, there's a number of them, where it says, you know, you all did a great job, but you didn't do such a good job. Now throw him out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like a place I want to be. Is that a place where you want to be? Weeping in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? That sounds rather painful, and I don't like pain. Do you like pain? I don't think many of us really enjoy pain. Pain is what tells us that there's something wrong, right? If you break a leg, you're in a lot of pain because your bone is broken and your body is saying, there's something wrong. Go get this fixed, right? Pain is not fun. I see some big smiles. I know you had some pain over the past couple days. Someone had a toenail that got ripped off. That's not fun. And it gives me the willies. Totally gives me the willies. But this is one of those gospel lessons. It's got a great message. And it's put into contrast with this last statement of weeping and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness and all that stuff that I don't really want to experience in my life. And yet we all have experienced it at one point or another in our life. So what is the point of this gospel lesson? Well, what first stands out to me is that you often hear sermons about this passage having to do with stewardship, having to do with using your talent for the good of the church, right? If you have excess of talents, you give to the church. If you have the gift of, let's say, a talent is a gift of music, you use that gift for the church, for giving back to the community of God. Okay, so you hear that kind of line of reasoning, and it's a good way to go. But what stands out to me this time is that third servant. And the reason for why he might have not invested the money that he was given, but rather dug a hole and buried it in the ground. Now, we see what he says to the master when he comes back, right? He says, okay, so then the one who had received the one talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Now, he didn't lose anything, right? He didn't lose anything. My question is, why did he have such a harsh judgment about the master? And why would he have such knowledge about the master's business dealings? It's a valid question, right? Most likely, there's no reason that he would have any knowledge of his master's business dealings. He wouldn't know what the master was doing with his money. Some scholars argue that one talent was equal in value to a few hundred thousand dollars. So you see how much money we're talking about here. Now, I don't know if that is in fact true, but it's basically true, right? I learned that lesson today. Basically true. Anyway, it was a study I read. And so you can see the amount of value that we have going on here. My theory, based upon my own experience, is that that slave was controlled in his life by pride. He saw that others were given more than he was given to take care of. He saw that one was given five and he made it 10. He was given all of this money to take care of. He has all of these talents, all of these things that he could use to bring glory to the master. But he was only given one. He wasn't trusted enough to be given five or two or however many. His pride was getting in the way. His pride was saying, I am upset with you because you don't trust me, and I should be trusted because I'm a good person and I know how to do this, and blah, 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 blah. We can all relate to that, right? We can all relate to that. I know I can relate to that. It's the sinful, it's our sinful nature of human pride. And I have it in my own life. There's times where I look around and I see colleagues who have greater preaching skills than I do. Or they have bigger churches full of people. Right? Or they have a car that is just gorgeous and wonderful. Blah, 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 blah. You can all insert here. Our pride keeps these things at the forefront of our attention, and it really shouldn't. The idea of making these, of thinking that we, because of who we are, whatever that means, whatever our reasoning might be, should be in charge of more than we really should be, is sinful. It's sinful. God gives us talents according to his proportion. He's the one that doles out what he needs. And if he's given you, like the servant here who got one talent, if he's given you just a little bit to take care of, it's because it's important. It's because it is necessary to God's plan. Another part of our sinful pride and our brokenness of humanity is that we like to think that we can see the entire picture. We like to think that we know it all, that we can see it all. We know exactly where God is going in whatever instance. That's our human pride, our human nature tells us that. But in reality, we know that's not true. In reality, knowing that God has trusted me with a certain talent, okay, the talent is metaphorical, right? With a certain talent, truly scares the pants off of me. Because it gives me a sense of responsibility that is just magnificent. And in magnificent, I mean huge. Eventually, God's magnificence will flow through that. Our job is to not let our pride get in the way of ministry. Our job as disciples of Jesus Christ is to not, I'm going to say it, not let our pride and how we think everything should be get in the way of ministry of Jesus Christ, get in the way of how we love other people. It shouldn't get in the way and say, you know, I would go and serve this person, but I am just so down on my luck. It's just not fair. You think about what life would be like if Jesus had done that? If Jesus had said, you know what, this world full of sinners and broken people, they're full of pride and lust and all, you can list them out, whatever it might be. And look what they've done to me. Look what they've done. They've tortured me. They put this mock royalty outfit on me. They spit on me. They beat me up. They whip me. They put this crown of thorns on me. I'm not going to do what I was supposed to do. I'm not going to show love to them. Can you imagine what life would be like? It would be a hopeless world. But Jesus didn't let his pride get in the way. Jesus said, you know what? It's not about me. It's about God. It's about you. It's about you knowing that God loves you. So I'm going to do it anyway. You can see that in the Gospels that Jesus did struggle with that briefly. He was in the garden and he was kneeling and he was praying. And he said, Lord, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will. Not my pride, your will. If we are to follow that example, and we are to live life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to put our own pride, our own will, aside. We have to put it down. And we have to say, okay, Lord, your will. What do you want done here? You want me to go and serve these people? Okay, I'll do that. You have all the thoughts. Well, what if this? What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? None of that matters because God has his will set for you. Go and serve. There's a passage, and the reference is eluding me, but if you know it, shout it out nicely. It's go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28. 19? I think that's right. I am so glad you guys know that. You know, that was a little bit of a test. No, I'm kidding. No, I totally forgot where it was. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always to the end of the age. That's God's will for us. That is God's mission for us as a church, not just as an individual, but as a church, as a community, as a group of people who consider themselves disciples of Jesus. How many of you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus? Feel free to raise your hands because that is something glorious. Now, what's the difference between a disciple and someone who goes to church? Anyone? What? Yes, who said that? Where are you? There you are. You practice what Jesus preaches, right? That's what you're saying, right, Rose? You practice what Jesus, that means you do what Jesus teaches us, what Jesus told us. You do what Jesus did. Did Jesus tear others down? No. Did Jesus threaten? Well, I guess he did threaten some. Yeah, forget that. Remember when he went into the temple and he flipped the tables because they made God's house into a marketplace? Yeah, I don't think God liked that too much. That was a point where Jesus was threatening. It said that he made a whip. And he went around whipping them and flipping tables. You know, thinking of Jesus getting all aggro like that, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's exciting. I won't be flipping chairs or anything in here, but, you know, there's a time for that, apparently. No, we're supposed to do what Jesus did. We're supposed to actually take care of the poor. We're supposed to actually feed the hungry. We're supposed to actually love each other and lift each other up. We're supposed to actually do something positive in this world. We're supposed to actually take his love outside of this building and go into the community so that they might know Jesus' love just like we know it. It doesn't matter who they are or what they do or how they live their life. All that matters is that they need to know who Jesus is, and they need to know that what Jesus has done in your life. How many of you find it scary? I was waiting for some preemptive hand raising, you know? How many of you think is scary? How many of you think is scary to think about going out and, you know, living your life and from time to time sharing with other people how God has worked in your life? Anyone find that scary? Really? A few of you? I do. It's scary for me. You know? It's scary for me, and for those of you who don't really want to raise your hand either way, that's okay. You know? But what this is encouraging to me, that you guys don't find that scary, because that tells me that, you know, this whole disciple thing of Jesus is important to you, and you take it for what it is as a priority in your life. That's fantastic, because that's how we should be living our life. That's how Jesus wants us to live our life. Jesus gives us these experiences, and they are ways, slow my brain down. Every story that you collect in your life, every moment that you have in your life where you are experiencing something, is a lesson that others need to learn as well. So here's a story. So I used to play the guitar. Yeah, I did. Quite a bit. And the reason that I played the guitar was, well, my dad played the guitar, and I thought it was kind of cool when I was young. And so I sat down on my bed, and I would teach myself the chords on his guitar, and I'd just go over chords and chords and chords and chords, and, you know, pretty soon I could play chords. I didn't know what the heck I was playing, because I don't read music. And I'd have no idea about the theory behind the guitar. Okay? Or I'm not a musician, but I can play chords on a guitar. And so I played and played, and then I met this girl, and she took me to her dad's house to meet him, and there was a bunch of, I don't know, young men there, teenage boys there also. I was a senior in high school. And yeah, this is a story about my wife. I'm sitting down on this stool in her dad's living room, and now you have to understand, her dad is a guitar freak. I mean, the walls are pasted with real guitars. It's something like 85 of them or something, you know, just a crazy amount of guitars. He plays the guitar, and he plays the guitar well. And these other boys that were there, who were about my age, a little bit older, who knew Mandy, my wife, they play guitar as well. And they play guitar really well. And so part of the test that I had to pass was one young man came over to me and said, "You play the guitar?" And I said, "Yeah, I play guitar." And he said, "Oh, that's awesome. Here, play me something." These are like all of her big brothers, if you would, you know. And I'm like, kind of the fear of God goes into my heart, and I go, okay. Play some of the chords, and they kind of look at me. I go, and her dad comes over and he sits by me. He said, "It's okay that you can't play the guitar, but I'm going to teach you how to play the guitar." And he began to teach me, had my first lesson then, and then we were able to go out on a date. This is true. This is true. And then he continued to teach me over the years. Never taught me any theory himself, because I'm pretty sure he doesn't know any theory of the guitar either. Although I didn't know that at the time. So I played, and then I stopped playing. I got busy with life, with kids, with church, and with leading churches, and being the pastor, and doing all of that stuff. I didn't have time to play the guitar anymore, even though it brought me so much joy. I just kind of put it away. And then it was in storage, so I couldn't access my guitar. And Just the other day, I took the guitar out because my son is going to take guitar lessons now. I took my guitar out. I kind of dusted it off. It was really dusty. And I started to play some chords, and I couldn't remember a lot of it, and it surprised me. I couldn't remember how to play my favorite chord, which is a C-sharp minor. That's a weird chord. I couldn't remember how to play these songs that I had listed, worship songs that I used to play all the time. I couldn't remember how they went. This was shocking to me because I realized, my gosh, if you don't use the gifts that God has given you actively, you begin to forget how to do it. Now, I wouldn't say I'm gifted in playing the guitar, not at all. You know, but what I did know, I had lost a lot of it. Because I didn't use my gift. I put it away. God has given us gifts that if you don't use, they will begin to atrophy and they will begin to disappear. So if you have the gift of, I don't know, someone shout out a gift you have. It'll be anonymous. Anyone? Anyone have a gift? Paddleboarding. Okay, so if you have the gift of paddleboarding, and by this I'm thinking, okay, so stand-up paddleboarding, right? Yeah, so, and you can go for a long distance, you can go fast, you can turn really easily, right? You can even catch waves at Paia and really, really gifted stand-up paddling, surfing 60-foot waves, right? And if you don't do that for a long time, you might forget where your balance is, right? And it's going to take you time to relearn how to do it all. Another example I have is, I used to surf a lot growing up, and I was pretty good, and in Southern California. And then college came, and with college comes college stuff, a little bit of surfing, more college stuff. And then I got married, and with marriage comes marriage stuff and weight gain, usually. And then graduate school in Iowa. There's no place to surf in Iowa, right? Yeah, it's just, you know, it's cold and flat. And as time progressed, you know, I didn't surf for 18 years. And here I am thinking, all right, I'm going to get back out on the board. This past year when I was in California, it's like, all right, I'm going to get back out and go surfing because I have the time. I'm in the right place. And I have a board they got for $25 on Let Go. You know, we could do this. And so I paddle out. I barely make it out because I'm horribly out of shape. I try to stand up on a wave, and there's no way that I can do this. And I realize it, and it was rather depressing. So this gift that I had developed and been given, you know, I couldn't do anymore. Until 2 days ago. And I got a nice big foam board, and I was able to surf some waves, and I was like, wow, I'm doing it. This is amazing. You know? You know, unwrap those gifts that God has given you that you put away for so long, whether it be playing guitar, stand-up board, surfing, or, you know, what's that?
Just
walking. It's true, right? Or if it's, you know, using your gifts to feed the hungry, or if it's using your gifts to bless the church so that their ministry might grow. You know, it's all these things, and I've been talking for way too long. Did you get that? But it's true, and I hope you get the point. I hope you see the point here, that we need to use the gifts that God has given us, that we need to not, you know, cover them up and put them away, that we need to take them out of the cupboards, and we need to relook at them and say, how can I use this to God's glory? How can I use this to benefit the life of the church? How can I use this to benefit my family? How can I use this to benefit those who have nothing? How can I use this to glorify God again? Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the blessings that you give us and for the gifts that you have given us. We ask that you would help us to unwrap them again so that we can use them to benefit you and your kingdom. We ask that you would walk with us as we unwrap these gifts, because it can be scary. We ask that you would bless us and bless this congregation and bless this community. Help us to share your love with others. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.